I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. If you grew up under some not so good influences, you may have learned how to be a loser. I'm serious. You might have learned how to be a quitter, learned to just throw up your hands and be hopeless and helpless and quit, but that's not what God intended for you or me. He never intends for us to be overwhelmed, overcome, defeated. The greater one has been given us and placed on the inside of us. And like we were shouting about in yesterday's class, there's nothing too hard for him. And so you want to get that built into you so that no matter what you're looking at, feeling, hearing, seeing, dealing with, you really genuinely believe you can overcome it all. Amen. Right? Amen. That when it's finished and the dust clears, you'll be standing there. Amen. With the victory. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And a good testimony.
Yes.
To tell and glorify God.
Yes.
And you won't quit.
Yes.
Until that's where you are.
Amen.
God will see to it that that's what happens. Father, we do want you to be honored and glorified in every part of our life and our being. And so we ask you again for utterance, anointing, direction, grace, ears to hear, the quickening of your spirit, eyes to see, just what you know we need for now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've been in a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we've been going one by one through reasons, 30 reasons we're in the process of giving you, why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. You could not be too sure of that. You can't be too persuaded of that. You can be unconvinced. You can be wavering and wondering and not sure, not quite sure. That's where a lot of people are. And that's why we're taking the time, not just one truth, not just one thought, not just two verses, but all told, there'll be hundreds of verses in this study. I mean, how many think one verse is enough to believe something, yes. Right? And so what we're saying is this is not just some excited preacher's opinion of something. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
All through the Word of God, God has revealed Himself. One of our reasons that we got on a while back was the names of God. He's revealed Himself as El Shaddai, mm-hmm. Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Names like this have no poverty in them,
yeah.
No lack in them. You can't get that out of this anywhere. So where did all this thing come from that maybe God is teaching me something through poverty? Maybe God is using terrible lack and loss to develop us. Well, this came from men's twisted religious ideas, trying to explain things they don't understand. Didn't come from God. Didn't come from His Word. So examine carefully what you believe. Where did it come from? Where are the verses that actually say that? And so we're saying, you can settle this if you will. And man, what a relief it is to know God's for me. He's on my side,
yes.
To help me with whatever I need. every day of my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Said out loud, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
I'm convinced.
I'm convinced.
Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always.
Is always.
God's will.
God's will.
For us all.
For us all.
I believe,
I believe
abundant provision
is always
God's will
for me.
For me. Amen. Every day of my life. Every day. Every day of my life. Well, that's what we're on. Reason number 15 in our study of 30 reasons. And this reason is called provision in the wilderness. And you'll find that phrase, in the desert, in the wilderness, numerous times in God's dealings with His people that He brought out of Egyptian bondage. You know, Deuteronomy, Exodus, Numbers, in the Psalms, in the prophets. We saw Nehemiah, different place. He keeps bringing it up, what He did for them in the wilderness, in the desert. Why does He keep using that phrase? Because it was and is a demonstration that God can and will provide anywhere. It doesn't matter how hard the conditions are and how bleak and how nothing is there and how desolate it may be and depleted it may be. That does not limit God. He brought it in from above. He brought it in from the great depths. He brought it in from beyond the borders of that wilderness, those quail and all of that. No, He can do it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He can.
Yes.
Anywhere.
Yes.
Said out loud, my God,
can provide
for me,
anywhere.
See, it doesn't make any difference what's going on or where you are. We talked about Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Well, see, that's something that's not limited by down here. His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. His riches are inexhaustible, unlimited, inexhaustible. So we never have to be concerned about, well, you know, Lord, is it a good time for me to get some things that I need? I don't want to, you know, people sometimes approach you, Lord, I don't want to bother you. I don't want to be a burden, you know. And you don't understand how big God is.
That's right.
And like I said before, I think sometimes people have, you know, we even used to sing the songs, you know, Jesus is on the main line, you know, call Him up. Tell Him what you want. And I think, you know, especially back then, that would have been the switchboard operator with those cables and jacks, you know, and the big, you know, and young people are going, what? Yeah, there used to be cables and jacks. And the operator had the headset on and a call's coming in. And so they'd put the, and people have the idea that that's God. God's the heavenly operator at the heavenly switchboard. And oh man, we got calls, prayer calls coming in from all over the world. Yeah. We got prayer calls coming in from kings and presidents and prime ministers and soldiers in the foxhole and widows needing food for their kids. And God is there. And there's even a bead of sweat on His brow. And he's answering the calls. And so you think, well, I don't want to add to all that, you know. No, there is no heavenly switchboard.
Exactly.
No, there's not. God wouldn't even have a computer. A computer to God would be like an ox cart. I mean, He just so antiquated, He wouldn't have use for such a thing. No, the Almighty is all aware.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And like we said before, He can hear and answer all the prayers of anybody, anywhere, and help you find a parking place downtown at the same time.
Hallelujah.
With no problem.
Amen.
You have not because He's too busy to deal with you. You have not because you didn't ask.
That's right.
You just didn't take advantage of what was available to you. No, God can and will handle it all. If everybody on the planet made a demand on the power of God at exactly the same moment, He could hear it all, understand it all, answer it all at the same time, and the lights in heaven wouldn't even flicker. They wouldn't even flicker. You got to understand, He didn't just make the earth. He's made the vastness of the universe that we can't even see the end of it. He is big, so big. He can certainly take care of your electric bill.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
Right? He can certainly help you get some groceries
yes.
on the table
yes.
or some new shoes for the kids, whatever it may be.
Yes.
Car, place to live, a good job. Whatever it is, do not limit God by your thinking, because His ability is unlimited. Now, one thing we were shouting about in yesterday's class was the Lord asked the question of Abraham and Sarah. If you would turn to Jeremiah 32, we talked, though, from Genesis about how that... The Lord told Abram that Sarah was going to have a child when she was way past age, and Abram was way past age, and it just seemed like an impossible thing. But Sarah laughed to herself back in the tent behind them. She heard the conversation, and when the Lord said, about this time next year, about the time of life, 9 months, whatever, going to have a new bouncing baby around here. And Sarah is going to deliver this baby. And she laughed. She thought, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. She's, what, 90, almost 90 years old, and he's almost 99. And she couldn't conceive. She'd been barren all her life. She couldn't conceive when she was 20 or 30. And now she's going through the change of life. And it was something that they had kind of just given up on. You know, they tried to make it happen through Hagar, and maybe they thought, okay, we kind of got it there. And so, you know, a lot of people, by the time they get to their 90s or late 90s, they're not making giant plans for the future. They're just, they're enjoying, right? They're enjoying their golden years and realizing that they'll soon be leaving here. And the Lord said, no, we're not done. We're not done. Sarah is going to have a baby. And she laughed within herself. And the Lord immediately said, why did Sarah laugh? Why? Because it was a laugh of unbelief. It's not that laughing is wrong. What's she laughing about? What's she laughing at? That it could happen. And the Lord said, why'd she laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's a word that came directly from the Lord. That's a question the Lord asked them and had it recorded for us, for all generations. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Does anybody know the answer to that question without deliberating about it? Is anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
He made the heavens. He made the earth. He's made everything that you and I know anything about. Why would we think something is too hard for Him? Now, when you say that, just dealing with the question and the answer, almost every church-going person responds correctly. Huh? Because you're not dealing with a specific. But the moment you're dealing with the specific that is beyond your personal experience, now you find out whether you really believe that or not. And see, that's what the case was with them. This was not just beyond their personal experience. Nobody had ever heard, right, of a 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman having a healthy baby. Nobody ever heard of such a thing. But to God, it was easy. right? He just touches his body a little bit, touches her body a little bit. They're good to go. Right?
Amen.
How much did it take from him? He creates stars and galaxies. Come on, y'all with me. This is so easy for him. And that's what he says. He's taken aback a little bit. He says, what do you think's too hard for me? Is it too hard for me? I see you laughing. Why do you think I can't do this? How many of you want to get the answer right? You want to get the response right. We're given this so that we can get it right. Yes. That when the Lord tells us something that just seems too big, too far, too beyond, that we don't let ourselves fall into the walking by sight, the reasoning, all of that stuff. We immediately remember this. Yes. He made everything. Nothing's too hard for him. Huh? Nothing.
Nothing.
Come on, everybody say nothing.
Nothing.
It's too hard for him. And in Jeremiah 32 and 17, you find a similar thing. Now, you ought to mark these verses. Make a note of them so that you can get back to them. This is the kind of thing you want to tell yourself again in days to come. Jeremiah 32. I won't go into all the detail, but the Lord was having the prophet do some things that was affecting, going to be manifest in the future. And the times looked so bad and so hard that you would think, could that happen in the future? But he said this by revelation, Jeremiah 32:17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and your stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for you." Say it out loud. There is nothing,
too hard for you.
Three different translations, the English and the New American, the Good News, others say it like this. Sovereign Lord, you made the earth and the sky by your great power and might. Nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is too hard for you. Now, when people start talking about, you know, there's a phrase, and some cultures, they really like to use this phrase. You'd be talking to them about something, and can we do this? And they'll say, oh, no, it's impossible. It's impossible to do this. Some cultures really, they use that a lot. And, or some just say, no, there's no way. No, that can't happen. That can't happen. And you'll even find in different fields of science, people will tell you, there's no cure for that. That can't be fixed. That's the wrong answer. I said, that's the wrong answer. Maybe you can't fix it. That's not shocking. We understand. Maybe no human beings can fix it. But to say it's impossible, to say it can't be done, it can't be fixed, you are excluding somebody very important out of this discussion.
Yes.
Right? There is a God.
Yes.
And He's real.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And He did make the heaven and the earth, and there is nothing too difficult for you. There's nothing too hard for you, the King James says. There's nothing too difficult for you. Now, the enemy is one who really keeps beating on the complexity of things. And you will hear these phrases about, there's too much water under the bridge. What does that mean? too much said, too much done. It's been, everybody's said too much, done too much, hurt too much. It's been too long. Too long for who?
That's right.
Maybe you. Mm-hmm. Maybe they think so. But is it too hard for God?
No.
Is it too difficult, too complex, too complicated, too much hurt, too much damage that God looks at this big ball of entanglement junk and he goes, that's a mess. I don't know. That looks too hard for me. No? That has never happened and it never will happen. God can just go zip and it's all entangled. Huh?
Yes.
Easy. He doesn't have to spend any time trying to figure out where to start or how to do it. His wisdom is from the beginning to the end. Hallelujah. His understanding is unsearchable. Unsearchable, the scripture says. And so that's why he said, there's nothing too hard for you. The NCV says, there is nothing too hard for you to do. The message says, there is nothing you can't do. The BBE says, there is nothing you are not able to do. And you'll find the Young's literal and the Amplified also brings this out and the words included here. It says, there is nothing too hard or too wonderful for you. Too hard or too wonderful. So, anything you think is hard, not too hard to him. Anything that you look at and makes you wonder. And you wonder, how could that ever be? God's not wondering. And it's not too wonderful and amazing for him to do. He said it again in Jeremiah 32 and 27. That was the 17th verse. In the 27th verse of the same chapter, the prophet, by inspiration, he had said in verse 17, there's nothing too hard for you. Well, in verse 27, God answers and affirms what the prophet said. He said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I'll wait for your reply.
No.
Huh?
No.
Is there? See, the Lord's asking this.
Right.
See, he had asked that same similar thing of Abraham and Sarah. Mm-hmm. Now he's asking again. See, this nation at this point is in a mess because of their sin, awful, awful sin, and their worshiping of idols and practices that you shouldn't even talk about. You know, it looked like their utter desolation and destruction is the only end. And God is speaking of a restoration in the future for them where it'll be great and it'll be good. And people are scratching their heads going, we don't see anything good about what's going on. Yeah, but the Lord says, is anything too hard for me? You think I can't fix it? You think I can't do it? Is there anything too hard, too difficult, too wonderful for me? And all the class said,
no,
there is nothing. Mark 10 and 27 said, with Jesus looking upon them, he said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. So yeah, I mean, when people say, no, it's impossible, it's impossible. With men, okay, but there's a God. And with God, all things are possible. This is mind renewing.
Yes.
What does that mean? The thing you thought couldn't happen,
yes,
can happen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yeah, it can.
Yes.
And the thing that was diagnosed incurable is curable.
Yes.
Right? Maybe man can't cure it, but God can. And the thing that was pronounced terminal, no, there's no hope except for you to die. You're going to die. You have to die. No. You haven't talked to everybody. Yeah, but I've gotten multiple opinions by the best. No, not all the best. There is the best.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There is the most high.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you'll get a different prognosis from the Most High. He'll say, yeah, I can fix this.
Uh-huh.
Easy.
Easy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And And then you can begin to say like the psalmist, well, all right then, I'm not going to die right now, but I'm going to live and declare the works of God. Somebody needs to say this. Say it out loud. No.
No.
I will not die early.
I will not die young.
I will not die wrong.
I will live.
Hallelujah. And finish my course.
And give glory to God.
Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be the will of God?
Yes.
For you to glorify God in your spirit and in your body and in your life? And give hope to other people that when they hear about what happened to you and they thought, well, hey, I thought you were supposed to be dead 6 months ago. You sure are looking good. You go, hey, God healed me.
Hallelujah.
Right? The Lord has healed me and restored me. Well, see, that's something He can cause other people to hear that's in a bad way. And the Spirit of God will quicken to them and say, hey, I'll do it for you too.
Yes.
It is not impossible. It is not the end. It is not terminal, incurable, nobody can fix. In Luke, the first chapter and the 37th verse, He said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. Luke 18:27. He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. There's a lot of things that's impossible to us. A lot of things. Even the best among us and the most expert and the top of their field, we know in part. Thank God for what we've got, but it's a lot missing. But that's not the end. Just because men can't help you, and there comes a point where, you know, if enough people tell you, no, that's impossible, no, we can't, there's no help. Well, okay, how many times you need to hear that? Quit asking them.
Right.
Is that right? And look to God.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Go to Him. And quit playing with this. They've already told you 10 times they can't do it. So quit pulling on them and quit begging them and quit being hopeless. Look to the God to whom nothing is too difficult. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is impossible. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, our time's up again today, but I'm stirred up about it. And don't let this be the last time you say, all through the day when it comes up again, just go ahead and open your mouth and say it. With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Let it come out of your spirit. Let it come out of your voice. Let it come out of your mouth. Well, there's more to see. Come back tomorrow. We'll get deeper into this in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.